Oof, that'd be good too. See, these are things we need to have in the podcast to make it fun. That's why we should get started. Or you should do like a, it's more work for you, Sim, but you got to have a pre-show now too, kind of like what Guardian Down does sometimes.
I mean, that would be, I mean, I do, depends on what we get, like what juicy tidbits we get in advance.
Yeah, I know. You do do that. You do do? You do do that.
Do do. Do 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 that.
You do 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 that.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Guardian Hub podcast.
Yes, episode 65, to be exact. We talk Destiny and our love of the game. What else do we do, Sin? We occasionally bring on different guests and communities, right?
Yes, we do.
This week, it's just Kingsley Mac, Sin, and Des Raven. How are you guys doing?
The Three Musketeers.
The Three Musketeers. That works. That works for us.
No, right?
I try.
Sin,
I want to be
getting,
D'Artagnan.
Yeah. Sin's getting wrecked or erect and playing Reckoning.
Wrecked in Reckoning.
Yeah. And Dez was talking about how he has a cooler room tonight.
Yay.
Yay. Air conditioning is good, right?
Yes.
Central
very.
AC.
Yes.
Or window units.
I've been sweating like a pig the past couple of recordings. Oh my god, it was awful.
It is. I mean, okay, that's what I hate about summertime playing, even on PC. It's, you know, such a first world problem, but PCs put off a lot of heat in summertime, and especially if you have the PC close to you on the floor near your legs, all the heat rises. I'm doing a raid, I'm like sweating up a storm here. I'm like, life sucks. And then I'm like, wait a second. I have a lot of good things compared to most people.
Like, oh my god, it's so awful.
I'm playing a video game. You know?
What can be better?
I know, right? So, and we have a really good community. There's been a lot of crazy things going on lately, and I want to thank everyone in the Guardian Hub, everyone who listens to this, and our Discord, just that we have a good community. And I think we, you know, people that are chill and nice tend to congregate around other people like that. So that's good that we don't have a group that is looking for the bad apples in the world. So,
unless you're looking for Sin.
Sin is barely, there's so many times we almost kicked him out, right? Barely allowed in here.
I almost kicked myself out of a raid the other night.
Well, you always kick yourself out of raids, right? You're like,
Yeah,
I need to go to bed, but we got it done still. Let's talk about that, how our week's been, what we've been doing. Since you bring that up, well, a couple nights ago, last night, I don't even remember now.
A couple nights ago, it was Friday night because I had to work the next morning. Oh, no, it was Saturday night. Saturday night.
Yeah, we're recording on a different night tonight, so it still was a couple nights ago, but if you can do the math, recording on a Monday night. There's no magic here. We can let people know. We had did a garden raid. We had a couple people that had not done it before. And we got it done. So,
yeah, I think I was about tapping out at 1:30 and I was like, all right, I'm trying to find like who can jump in and do this. And I was like, all right, this has got to be my last one. And I think finally, as we were completing it, Brother Ben had a message back saying he was available. And by that point, we had just finished it, two-phased it, which was nice. I think once everybody gets a rhythm down, it goes pretty smooth.
Yeah, learning more and more, like it really can be quite easy to get through, you know, 90% of the raid, even with several new people. But when you get to the end, if you have several new people, it takes a while to really learn the positioning and what weapons to use and how to be most efficient to hit the boss's crit spot, because it's a very short damage window. So you need to make sure you're reloaded, ready to go, and then reload again while he's moving up, or don't reload at all, swap to another weapon. You really got to just do all those little optimizations. Or if you're new, you may not have Enhanced Relay Defender yet, so that's another issue. So, you know, it's just all those things. But you're right, like, after a few tries, I was really impressed too. Sometimes we were getting 10, 20, 30% DPS, but then all of a sudden when we got a rhythm, we did 50% and then 50% the next time.
Yeah. And Divinity Runners definitely helped on that too.
Oh yeah, I did Divinity for the first time. Shout out to Hawks and all the people that normally do it. It was boring. Did not enjoy it.
It is a little boring, but it's like super Divinity helpful guy. If you're running a support class.
I know. But yeah, I don't like being the support warlock anyways.
Right.
I did well in the Divinity, like a good little warlock, and it helped. But we had a lot of fun doing that. You haven't been playing the game too much else otherwise, have you, Sin? You've been a little bit, I mean, you're always busy, but it seems like you've been able to not do the game as much as even if you wanted to, like normal, right?
Yeah, a little overwhelmed with work. The hours, it's mentally exhausting. We're in a new building, very, very light staffed. And every day I'm like open to close, like I like no break, it seems like. And it's a little frustrating that my boss is the one that's supposed to be handling all the hiring. And it's like they're not doing anything to even bother hiring anybody because we need salespeople, and which is basically our support. And we're expected to take on the load of everybody, like we're expected to take on the load of the salespeople when they're not there, and we're scheduling people in and don't have the staff to be able to help them. So, yeah, I'm.
Yeah, so many places are like that right now, overloaded. Sorry, man.
Yeah, it happens. And then I had a-hole customer today that he was there for an hour, told him I could have him done in about a half an hour after that. And then he was like, nope, I'm leaving. And I think to myself, you know, this, you're buying a car. It's almost as bad as buying a house. This isn't Sheetz. It isn't McDonald's. You don't just drive through and sign your paperwork and you're done. There's a process that needs to be followed. But I was like, yeah, if you're going to be like that, I'm not going to fight you. You can go ahead and go.
Yeah.
Because that's, unfortunately, you know, the people that complain like that, you find out that they're the worst ones that you end up, you know, if they're one of your customers, they end up being the worst ones over the lifetime of the car. And it's not even worth the hassle sometimes.
Exactly. And if people really just did a minor amount of research, you can make it go a little quicker if you want to get pre-qualified, get your own loan through the bank ahead of time or something, you know?
Yeah. And this guy did. He did all that ahead of time.
Oh, he still didn't have time.
He took two test drives when he got there, went over the car and still complained about the timing. And we didn't tell him he had to do all that. He wanted to take the two test drives. He wanted to go over the car. And then finally we were ready to sit down and he wanted to be a jerk about it. Bye. Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. Yeah.
One car deal is not gonna upset me.
Watch as Sin gets fired next week. Oh man. But what have you been doing in the game, Sin? Just working on the bounties, trying to grind just the basic weekly quests and whatnot. Are you still enjoying this season so far?
Yeah, so far so good. There's a lot there. I don't know about either you or Dez, but I've been, you know, I'm just now getting to the interference mission for this week. So reset was last Tuesday, so almost a week ago today. And then I'm just now going to finish it up tonight before reset tomorrow. Yeah, I mean, that's how a little bit that I've been playing. But every time that I'm on, I am getting bounties for my season pass. I did miss out. I did some of the idle grinding with the forges before they fixed it, but not a lot. And I didn't get a chance to turn in all my Umbral Engrams. But I did get at least try that out the last, what was that, almost a week ago now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I'm just slowly power leveling outside of the raid, and
I know, thing. We pull you into a raid and you don't have time for other things. Yeah, definitely get that weekly story quest done. The mission at the end is different this week than last week, even though it's in the same general area. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I'm almost there. I've already loaded in.
Dez, did you do that mission yet? The second weekly one?
Yes.
Okay. We actually saw part of Savathun's court, unless they're debating us. I saw that again. I was thinking of you. And I'm like, ooh, it actually in Savathun's court. It was kind of cool.
I know, but also at the same time, it was not the area I was expecting.
No, yeah, I have a feeling. Well, we know there's at least three different variations of this mission, so we're going to see something else soon. And hopefully even then there's sub-variations, and then hopefully even then there's like some super cool thing at the end of the season or like halfway in. You know, there's still the rumor of the Court of Orcs looking area too. So like,
yeah,
I have hopes, you know.
Which I did enjoy, like, because this mission for me felt so heavily like King's Fall.
Yeah.
And like that whole era, it just,
you know. Which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right? It was cool. It was like a nice wave of nostalgia. Yeah, I know. Going through, you know, the bridge and how that worked, which I know wasn't King's Fall, but, you know, still around that era. But either way.
Yeah, yeah. No, good stuff. Anything else interesting you've been doing in the game?
I'm just going through and
like any weapons you like that stand out to you so far.
Most of them, actually, to be honest.
That's okay. Yeah. I agree too.
Yeah, I've put in some work on a few, and they all feel pretty decent. I did like. Literally just before recording, because I've been kind of slacking in my bounties and such. But I did just basically get access to the guillotine on the reward track, so I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Yeah, me too, actually. I just barely got to, because I don't prioritize bounties as much, although this season I'm wanting to more because of reasons, of course. The guillotine, like you mentioned. Everyone needs reasons. That. So and they were talking about Guardian Down, and I know Hazel was kind of not liking this, and I get it, because two of the best weapons and the ability to get these as a drop, you have to get to level 30 and then level 45, I think, for the pulse. And I mean, you know, as you naturally play throughout the season, most people are going to get there, even if you're more of a casual player, but it's still, it's like you kind of have to put in the work into a season pass thing versus just a other way of doing it. And I, to me, the amount of work ends up being just a little bit more than maybe I would be getting it through other means, but I get it. If some people don't play that much in, if it was just coming from Umbrals and decoding and whatnot, they might have a better chance of getting those weapons versus if they're never really doing many bounties and leveling up their season pass bar.
I mean, that's true, but also, I mean, I'm just, like, to be fair, I mean, yeah, it's still, like, a grind to get there, like, through the whole season pass bar, but the way Bungie has arranged this, or how they've been doing this bar, it's actually very, fair, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing I've noticed is each level, like every segment from the season pass bar, takes like the exact same amount of XP.
Yeah.
It doesn't gradually grow like the artifact does.
Yeah.
Which most places that I've seen these seasonal models, they don't do this.
Yeah. And I don't have anything inherently against the season pass bar. It's like another, it doesn't add as much enjoyment to me as other things in the game, but it's still some small fun thing to check them off. I just wish that, you know, we've talked about this a million times, bounties grinding is one thing, and that's fine. I don't necessarily hate it, but it would be really nice to like run a raid and get like two whole sections of the XP bar passed off, You know what I mean? Like, have every activity be kind of like weighted to the correct amount of XP that it should give.
I mean, yeah, that would definitely be ideal. Have like the in-game stuff give you like a good portion of seasonal XP would be very nice.
Yeah. So yeah, it sounds like we're close on the season pass bar. I just got to 30. I'm looking forward to 45, and I'm also looking forward to in the seasonal artifact. I'm one away from opening the last column where I can finally get oppressive darkness grenade, which I'm very looking forward to getting that back.
Nice. I am nowhere near your guys' level. I'm at 17, I believe, for the season pass.
Hey, you're more than halfway to me.
Something.
Yeah, just
there's people myself in our clan that are like 100 something already.
Oh yeah,
Gator was running at multiple characters on his podcast when he was bringing it up. yeah, multiple characters, all that hoopla, and which we talked about this a little bit. I forget, but this season I do have more incentive to run multiple characters, just at least for the weekly bounties for the new machine, because that is really one of the only good ways you can get the twisted energy. I don't run multiple characters for shiz after that, but I do run it at least for the weekly bounties. And I do recommend other people consider that, because you're passing up a lot of twisted energy if you don't run multiple characters.
500 per bounty, right?
Yeah, 250, 500. Maybe it was 500, but it was a lot.
500.
And that's really your only source, other than there's a couple spots in the season pass bar also that give you it. But you really need to run bounties on all three.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. That is definitely also, I will echo that advice, because that's actually what I've also been doing. I'm more of, I usually stick to my hunter kind of guy, but yeah, I saw that and it's like, you know what? Let's do this and get the things a little faster.
Yeah, I definitely didn't have time for all that myself.
Yeah. Well, we were talking a little bit about this before the show, but like, Sin, if you need a guide of what to prioritize, because maybe sometimes you try to do too much and nothing gets done, but just kidding, Sin, we love you. But I would recommend maybe just focusing on the weekly stories and the weekly bounties more than anything else, even if it means you're not concurrently working on five other bounties at the same time, because those are the most useful things for getting done this season.
Okay. And that is,
ignore all the other stuff. You'll eventually power up your power level. It's okay that you won't get into the dungeon for a little bit, but you definitely need to do those weekly, prioritize the weekly bounties and the weekly quests.
Yeah.
Even on three characters. Not that necessarily the whole weekly quest on three characters, but weekly quest.
At least enough for the bounties.
Weekly quest on one character and then weekly bounties on three characters.
Yep. Yeah, but actually the way I've been breaking it down is I'll do like everything on my hunter, like, the whole power level strategy. Do all your powerfuls, do your pinnacles, and blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to my other two, I usually just, like I said, A, get the weekly done to get the energy, B, grab like the pinnacles or as many as I can for them while doing like the strike and crucible like weekly bounties to help with the seasonal XP as well.
Yeah. And I always forget to pick up like gunsmith bounties and planetary bounties. There's always more bounties I can pick up if I remember.
Right.
I never forget the gunsmith bounties. Oh my God.
I don't know why. Maybe because they were brought in later in the game. And so I was like, yeah, that's right. He has bounties too.
And when I came back, I saw those. I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah. They're good, easy ones to do. That's for sure.
Enhancement cores and like upgrade modules. Yes, give me all of those.
And I'm loving still this umbral system. It is really nice without even opening it all the way yet. I'm still super loving it that I can at least categorize, do I want weapons or armor? And now I'm going a little more towards the weapons side just because of reasons I have a lot of my armor leveled up. But it was nice. Even though I've hit the 1050 powerful cap and I'm still working towards pinnacle, I'm like 1051 average. I have a few 1052s and 1053s. But I noticed that my weapons, there was a couple that were 1040 or 1050. And then there was my Warlock Bond that was like 1049 or something. I forget what it was, but I was able to use the Umbrals because they, even though these planetary vendors and gunsmith and things, you know, they'll sometimes rotate and drop at level. I think they only go up to 1050, but the Umbrals will really go to your at level all the way. So since my at level was 1051 average, I was getting them to drop at 1051, which was nice to kind of fill in the blanks. So it really helps with getting those things you need. And you should definitely consider that too, Sin, like save up those Umbrals. And then by the end of the week, you know, tonight, whatever, turn in, if you can turn in any, but turn in the right categories like armor or weapons, whatever you need, whatever more low things are, and then you'll get high drops there.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I got a few to do now. So probably we'll do them at the end of the night when I'm all done.
Yeah, we need to finish this podcast and play some with Sin. Do the weekly story so we can experience it again.
Oh, I'm already in the middle of doing it.
Oh,
like, I'm okay. In the final part of the court.
Nice.
Where you got the
play-by-play.
Savathun's witness and then the these damn witches that are coming at me now. But yeah, it's actually a pretty cool play space.
Yeah. Mm. It really is. And you'll get some more lore there too.
So hopefully people have done it before the podcast comes out, because this part will be done unless it I think you said it's going to rotate every week.
Yeah, it looks like there's at least, well, we get a new, I know we get a new mission quest each week and lore piece that goes with it, but there will be at least three main variations of the quest, the story quest.
Well, hopefully if you didn't get it this week, it'll come back around for next.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to do like a catch up where you can still only do one a week if you start late. I don't know how that's going to work. Remember, what was it? Trials of the Nine mission stories. How that one, I think, like they ended, they didn't go the whole season, but you can only do one per week. So if you were behind, you would have to then just go more weeks after than people that caught them every week. But with this, I saw there was 15 lore pieces. So if you don't get one each week, are you missing out? Will you not be able to get them all?
That's an interesting thought.
Well, log in once a week and do the weekly quest.
Yeah, sounds like I'm going to have to. Everybody should.
Everybody should at least prioritize that. And let's talk about the weapons. Prioritize getting some of these weapons. You know, now that we've been playing the game for a while, we are seeing there's some pretty cool roles. And just because I don't have the time or desire or knowledge to research roles, I just pulling up this sheet from the Forbes Paul Tassi article where he went through some work talking about different roles on weapons. And, you know, this may not be everyone's perfect roles for the weapons, but there are definitely some good suggestions. And a lot of these I agree with because I have some of them. So I just kind of wanted to go over them tonight quickly as a discussion topic. We can talk about the new weapons and what are some good roles for them. So we first have, in the kinetic slot, the False Promises auto rifle. Now, do you guys like this auto rifle?
False Promises?
It's the slower firing. I don't know if you've used it much, the new auto rifle seasonal one.
Let me look. No.
Maybe you haven't tried it yet. Wasn't sure if you tried it yet, Des.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did get it, actually. I tried it a couple times. I lied.
Well, you must not like it that much if you're not. No, what about you, Des?
Oh, no, I'm in love with this thing. This is pretty much like one of the best feeling like high impact autos they've released like ever since D2.
Well, I do agree with that. Yeah.
So nice. I mean, it's like, it's controllable, which even like for stable. Yeah, like even for things like Halfdan, Age Old Bond, sure they had like good stabilities, or you can get them to get good stabilities, but they were still a little unwieldy. This one definitely doesn't feel that way whatsoever.
I fired it on a wall, and it doesn't even, so you know, some guns, the ones that are quote considered stable, they'll just kind of like go up slowly, but they're very vertical. They're in a perfect line. But this just kind of shoots like around, not like a circle, but just kind of in a little area, but it never ends up going up. And of course, not like way to the right either or anything. It's just super stable, just in its little general area. And it's very accurate. It's a laser.
Yeah, it's super, super nice. It actually also has a really good recoil direction. So the barrel mod that greatly increases recoil, or greatly improves recoil, however it's stated. I forget what barrel it is exactly.
Yeah.
But that will actually bring it to very close to 100 recoil direction, which is very nice.
Yeah, I saw a roll of that too. I don't have that on my main one that I'm using right now, but it's still even stable, even if you don't have that.
Yes.
A lot of people are liking this more for PvP. I mean, it's really good and stable there, but yeah. I'm even liking it in PvE now. I did not like it at first, and it's growing on me. And I think when you level it up and get a good roll, and if you know how to use it, it doesn't like mow down the small ads maybe as quickly if you're just like doing spray and playing, shooting it back and forth, which I used to do with Steel Feather Repeater. This one, you have to be a little more particular, right? It's almost like a scout, an automatic scout or something. You have to. So sometimes on the small ads that are running around, like the Thrall, this one can be like maybe, I guess you could say, a little bit harder to control on those guys. But all in all, it's very powerful.
Yeah. It can kick like a mule, and I think one I've been playing around with is actually Substance Swashbuckler.
Nice.
I think that's kind of the deal with these. Slower fires can sometimes feel kind of weak than PvE. But like I said, once your Swashbuckler, Rampage, whatever, actually starts kicking out, this thing just, oh my god, it does amazing things.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I had a Substance Swashbuckler that was pretty good, and that's one of the roles that are suggested, or Substance Rampage, depending on, now I haven't done enough research on those, which one can be better depending on how you play, but Rampage, of course, is always a good option, and so is Swashbuckler.
Yes. It all depends, basically. Because Rampage, of course, gets its damage bonuses in leaps and bounds, because there's only 3 stacks.
Yeah.
But Swashbuckler, if the numbers I ran across are true, Swashbuckler times 5 will do slightly more damage than Rampage x3.
Okay.
But whereas, like I said, Rampage is easier to hit, and then you have a mod that can increase its duration. Swashbuckler can be harder to hit, but then again, it also procs off of melee, but you also don't get the extension that Rampage can have. So,
sure. And my problem is I don't usually melee much. Yeah,
exactly. And it's basically all preference in the end.
Yeah, I might go back to one of those roles, but right now, the role that I'm running, which is another recommended one, is Substance Unrelenting. Unrelenting is a new perk that turns it into like a Suros, where you get heals on multi-kills. So,
well, it's cool. Kind of a new perk.
Yeah, well, kind of, but yeah, new perk for these legendaries.
Because, yeah, King's Fall MG actually had Culum's Terminus. There we go. I actually did remember the name. I actually had a Life Leech, which was essentially this. Just tweaked slightly. But it's always nice to see, like, PvE survivability things, like, coming through. But then again, now it's actually tweaked to where if you do use it in PvP, you don't need to actually kill as many things as in PvE to get the benefit. So it actually translates a little better.
Yeah. And then another recommendation is, instead of Substance, you could go on that second to last perk slot, you could go Overflow. I kind of like Substance more for me, but Overflow will get the gun up to 70 plus bullets. So you can have a lot of bullets there if you want that perk.
And you can do Overflow can be fun, but you definitely need to be stacked out to get some kind of extra ammo or special or heavy ammo in order to really take advantage of Overflow.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so cool. So that's the False Promises auto rifle. I mean, another one they recommend, but I don't want this role, but he even says this may be overkill, but you could do dynamic sway reduction and Zen moment. So if you want it to be even more of a laser than it is, but like, you really need that, right? It's already really good. I would probably do those other perks more than that.
Yeah, normally like we'll sing the praises of like Zen moment on an auto, considering autos can just get so many hits on an enemy that the stability bonus is just ramps up very quickly. But yeah, this one doesn't really need it.
Yeah. All right. Next, we have the Whispering Slab bow. And this bow, a couple different recommended perks could be Killing Wind and Sympathetic Arsenal. So Sympathetic Arsenal, which reloads all stowed weapons on reload, was actually made for bows because it literally triggers on every single kill shot with an arrow reload. And Killing Wind is good because it's yet another kill perk, and increased mobility on a lightweight bow is a great combo, he says. So yeah, you get the auto reload on your other weapons and increased mobility.
Wow. You see, and I think it was me and X was talking, or maybe it was Wicked. Either way, they were all in the same party, but we were talking actually, if Sympathetic Arsenal was on a bow, that's kind of silly.
Yeah, I know.
Because like you just said, a bow literally reloads every shot.
Yep.
So all of your weapons are getting reloaded every time you get a kill with a bow? Are you kidding me?
I mean, I'm kind of used to that also because I like to run transversive steps a lot, and I'm and I'll take a few shots and maybe run a little bit, and then. But yeah, this is a good perk to have. I like having all my weapons reloaded all the time.
Yeah, I know, right? And I will say the damage bonus that they gave to bows help them feel really nice in PvE. Just being able to clear out trash mobs easily has really helped the feel of bows in PvE, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So that's a fun role that I'm looking for. Probably not one that people were thinking of as much. Now, here's another role that probably a lot of people are thinking of, and this would be a good one too. Archer's Tempo and Opening Shot. Because, of course, Opening Shot is great on bows as well, because every shot is an opening shot. And then Archer's Tempo, of course, is a good one.
Yeah. I'm definitely a huge fan of Archer's Tempo. I don't think Opening Shot will be that great on this bow. Because if I'm not mistaken, it actually has a pretty good accuracy.
Yeah.
As is.
Yeah. So. Well, then maybe mix it with Killing Wind. No, they're in the same in the same slot. But anyways, yeah, it's just another option.
All right.
Hollow Promises Fusion Rifle. This is an interesting one. I kind of like this. I kind of don't. I've been trying this one a lot more because this season I've really been trying to latch on to the seasonal weapons for a few reasons. I mean, we know with the whole sunsetting thing, this really has gotten me to consider the newer weapons more. And so I'm not like crutching on loaded questions all the time. So when I go to a weapon like Cold Denial, Hollow Promises, it seems pretty weak compared to loaded questions. But of course, that's not a fair comparison, especially on that opening shot, right? For loaded questions.
Right.
But it's a pretty good fusion rifle. I mean, some people said it was good in Crucible. I still think Aaron Toll is going to be a little bit better. This one definitely does not have that range you look at with Aaron Toll. I've noticed I can do okay with it if I'm not good at measuring the meters like the PvP guys are, but I kind of know I have to be a little bit closer with this for it to work well compared to some other fusions. But then when I'm at that range, it does work really well. It seems pretty stable and it gets a good shot.
Yeah, for sure. Hollow Words, much like Gallant Charge, a couple seasons before, is kind of another one of Aaron Tell's younger siblings, basically.
Okay, yeah.
Because they share a frame, so you can kind of get away with a lot of the similar shenanigans. Aaron Tell, I don't think I've actually redone those sheets, but I still think that Aaron Tell definitely has the better range. But much like Gallant Charge, Hollow Words has better stability and like recoil direction to make the shots a little easier, at least within its range. So, yeah, it kind of takes that place.
Yeah. Yep. And especially when I've been going into the dungeon and a couple other things, or when I'm doing the new public event, I've been trying out this fusion and it works okay. And I need to get the roll with Vorpal because this is the only fusion supposedly that can roll with Vorpal so far. So it's worth considering that. And so a quick draw of Vorpal would be a good option. That's one of the options he mentions. And so when I'm, you know, finish my anarchy or sword or whatever, I can move over to the fusion to get some good shots also.
Yeah, I've been noticing some weird rolls on this fusion.
Some weird rolls. I mean, you can also get the health one, right? The Unrelenting.
Exactly. You can get Unrelenting on it. You can get Feeding Frenzy on it, which... okay. But yeah, I haven't tried it as much as others, but yeah. I think I actually kept a Vorpal roll. So I've gotten a few to drop, but like I said, that's one. I'm not a fusion rifle guy.
Gotcha.
That's not me. I try and, like, especially in PvP occasionally, because I'll get wrecked by fusion rifles from, like, miles away. It's like, let's give it a shot. It's not my mindset. Like, it's not.
And then if we were using this in PvP, the other good role that he mentions, of course, would be a quick draw backup plan. Yes, backup plan to get nerfed, but there's still nothing more fun than whipping out a fusion for an instant charge kill.
I mean, backup plan still does its job.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yes, it turns it into a rapid fire for impact, so you have to hit all of your bolts in order to get that kill. But at the same time, backup plan is kind of like you said, like someone's rushing at you. Well, time to whip this out really fast and then just... And, you know, hopefully they're close enough to where...
Oh, I know, because I'm getting ticked at those ranges that we're seeing with some of the shotguns now. I'm like, oh my gosh, my fusion can't compete with this anymore. The shotguns are getting like fusion ranges now.
Oh, yeah.
So annoying.
So what you're saying is... Let me go into Crucible.
Yeah, let's do it. At least to try this out some more. Have some fun with it. All right. Then Cold Denial, the pulse rifle that we were mentioning, that is first acquired when you reach level 45 on the Battle Pass.
Yeah,
and it's a good one.
I have no anecdotal evidence on this one.
Well, I've heard. I don't either, but I'm hearing good things about it, and there's a lot of potentially good roles for this one. You could do Killing Wind Headseeker. He says high impact pulse rifles got a big buff, and as such, Headseeker is actually better on it before than it was previously. I also like Killing Wind because of the range and handling you get from it. So, yeah. Or Killing Wind and Unrelenting. Of course, he says, you want Red Death back? Here's Red Death.
And it's essentially, yes.
Yep.
Though I will preface, Headseeker, his heart's in the right place, but Headseeker has never been considered a good perk. Because it doesn't it hasn't actually made times to kill any easier. So it's kind of, or, you know, especially in PvP, it's basically useless.
Yeah, I wonder if in PvE, though, it would be somewhat good.
Maybe,
yeah.
Then again, I'm also the guy that's like, oh, it's worthless here. Yeah, I'm just, nope.
Yeah, well, I would probably pick the Unrelenting one just because it's so fun. Like, the way I play my Warlock, it's not like I'm running in with a shotgun being super like in all the ads face, but I do like to get like in that medium range and kind of mow things as quickly as I can until I start taking some damage, and then know how to back away quickly enough. And then I always get annoyed when I'm too under leveled and then they kill me too quickly, and I should have just played my cover better. But these ones with Unrelenting can give me that extra safety where I can, you know,
yeah, for sure,
things down some more.
Oh, and I will say it, for high impact pulses in general, they do feel really good in PvP right now. I mean, they feel a lot better.
That's good to know. Yeah, because I like the idea of pulses.
Yeah, because I actually, for a little bit, while again screwing around getting pinnacles and weekly bounties done, I actually pulled my Redrix out and was doing slightly better than I was before, like as far as like kills and especially two bursting people, which I wouldn't have thought that one non-precision bullet would make that much of a difference, but it kind of does.
Nice. And then an old favorite, Feeding Frenzy and Multi-Kill Clip. He says they synergize well together. Feeding Frenzy did get nerfed, but is still solid in PvE.
Super solid in PvE. What are you talking? Oh my god. It's amazing in PvE.
Well, I think I'm going to have that on my list and the Killing Wind Unrelenting on my list. So
yeah,
definitely excited to try this one out.
Yeah, getting Feeding Frenzy times 5 is absolutely. I mean, you're talking like D1 Outlaw for that. It is ridiculous. The changes they made to Feeding Frenzy has actually like definitely put it up on my list for PvE.
Yeah.
And if you're a PvP god, here you go.
There you go. All right, Temptation's Hook, which, because of how crazy Falling Guillotine is, more people are using that sword, but Temptation's Hook is getting forgotten, but it's still a really cool sword because it can do the arc projectiles. And of course, it's kind of going to be the same all for these swords. Relentless and Whirlwind is definitely probably like the number one role you're going to want to go for on all the swords now, but he also mentions for the Temptation's Hook, Relentless, and Vorpal, because this is the first sword that can roll Vorpal, it's worth picking that up for boss killing. You never know.
Don't use Temptation Hooks for boss damage. Just don't.
Well, I know. I'm thinking like down the road, if there's some, who knows if there'll be some meta where we're shooting the projectiles towards a boss. I don't know.
I mean, that's true. I mean, having one in the vault may not be the most awful thing, but just don't use Temptation Hooks for boss damage. It's great for ad clearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Temptation's Hook is, I mean, it's Bullcaster, but a legendary version of it. So it's not as good as it could be, but I'm perfectly okay with how it performs because it is just a legend.
Yep. I know, right? These are awesome legendary swords. And then here we go with, he says, the monster of the season, the Falling Guillotine. This thing is out of control. Of course, you want Relentless and Whirlwind on it. I mean, Whirlwind will get you huge damage by itself, but you want to use it in between the heavy spin attacks, definitely for this sword. So you hit the R2, and then you go back to the R1s until it charges up again. See, on my previous sword that I was using, we were kind of figuring out with the Whirlwind even. That sometimes just spamming the R1 was better than going to R2, even when it got leveled up. But this one, you definitely hit the R2 when it's leveled up because it's fun and it works.
I was watching like damage numbers for it, and it is because the only like real drawback to Temptation Silk is the fact that its special takes 8 ammo. But it doesn't do the damage of 8 ammo for the special attack.
Yeah.
Guillotine.
Right.
On the other hand, only takes 4 ammo and actually does more than four ammo's worth of damage for one heavy spin.
Yeah.
So.
Although I'm kind of sad we're not spamming R2, then it would be like Sin, and then it would be like Wrath of the Machine days, where with our Dark Drinker, I'm spinning around.
I mean, you can spin it. Once you get Whirlwind up.
Yeah.
Spin away.
Yes. At least for a little bit. But yeah, these swords are crazy right now, Sin. So like, okay, go into the dungeon, especially on the first boss. You know, I won't spoil like what everything looks like, but it is so easy to even one man phase it now. You drop a well, and especially with three people, if we're all using swords, you stand in the well, any sword you have, especially if it has whirlwind, but even just the swords from previous seasons, we melt the boss in like 5 to 10 seconds sometimes. It just, you see his health just melt. So his health. So these swords are out of control right now.
Yeah, it's Rise of Iron, or yeah, Wrath of the Machine, like 2.0, yep, all over again. What should I equip for boss damage? You got a sword?
Yeah, a sword. Yeah, at least any boss that you can get close to. And I'm happy with how they do the boss encounter for the final boss in the dungeon, because the new dungeon, because you can't do that technique. You can actually, but there's other weapons that are slightly more meta. So, sure. But he moves around some. So yeah. Well, there you go. There, I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to add, but those are the weapons, and there's definitely some fun roles to look forward to and try these out this season.
Yeah, as far as like the perks that they've added go, this is like one of the, it's a rare season in the fact that what they've added, there's not really that many like bad perks that they've added to the pool, or not even bad, but you know, not as good. They all seem very interesting, and some might be niche, but at the same time, they all serve a purpose.
Yeah.
And I think that's super cool and kind of helps the grind game, because if you don't have as many garbage perks or throwaway perks, it creates combinations that you don't think about before.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the other things that are still hot is being able to run anti-barrier on exotic pulse rifles now. So, of course, you can do Bad Juju, Outbreak. Graviton Lance is actually working out as a good option.
Yeah.
And then the last thing, of course, is the bow, it's super hot right now, the exotic that the Catalyst just came out for.
Oh, Trinity Ghoul.
Trinity Ghoul, yeah. People are going crazy over that right now, because when you get the Catalyst, any kill, not just headshot, any kill does the...
Any arc kill.
Oh, any arc kill, but yeah, it does, yeah. It's, yeah, I haven't even gotten to that yet, and I know I'll have a lot of fun with that, too.
Yeah, and not only... Because, yeah, that's, like, the obvious, like, thing. But it also, the Catalyst also makes it faster to draw once you complete it. Not by a lot. But by a little.
Yeah.
That always helps bows.
Yeah, I think I'm only 40% done my Catalyst for that one. So the grind's going to be real on that.
I finished it.
I heard that one's not too bad. I mean, yeah, I bet if you, just because you don't have as much time, but yeah, I bet that one could be finished a little quicker than others. It's not like some crazy ones.
I'm pretty sure the lightning rod kills also count, so it does make it easier when you have large mobs that you technically only fire two shots and get like 8 kills. It's very nice.
Well, and it's now RIP to Wither Horde. We will have that patch out on Tuesday, I believe, the 2.9.0.2 patch, where it's not going to do the boss melting anymore. That's okay. I mean, it was kind of inconsistent anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's still fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's still a fun weapon. I got to work on that Catalyst.
And of course, they don't mention... apparently the PvP damage is working as intended then.
Oh my gosh. That would figure.
I haven't hopped in other than like Rumble, and I didn't see it there, but have you guys hopped into Control still recently and seen it all over Control?
I've played a little bit tonight and saw it. Not as much as when it first came out. Okay. I've seen it a couple times.
Calm down a little bit, yeah.
I think people have realized it's not like Witherhorde is good, but for PvP it was overhyped just slightly.
Yeah, like I said, that makes sense. It was new and like, overhyped.
Exactly. And it was easy to jump out of. It's slightly easy to avoid. But yeah, it's calmed down, but like also on the bad end of things is the people that are still using it are probably the people that actually know how to use it well, like actual area denial, and people have great aim with grenade launchers that can tag you, and if you're tagged with it, you're just dead.
Yeah. Oh, crazy. And then the other thing that came out that they kind of clarified this week, I was kind of shaking my head, question like, why? I mean, I'm not like upset about it, but I don't understand the logic unless either of you two have understand why. But on the details on raid gear and max power levels, you know, we had learned that Last Wish and Garden of Salvation weapons will be one of the few exceptions of legendaries that will not be sunsetted. And if you were like looking and you're like, well, wait, they show the lower level. That's because they said it's a bug right now. They will be fixed next season, and they will for sure go through at least the end of year 4 is what they told us. But then they also told us now that all previous raid armor will now go through year 4 and will not be sunsetted. Like, huh? So like Leviathan armor, but not weapons, we can still use.
Yeah, I find that weird.
Right?
Is there I find that really weird.
And then I'm trying to think, like, is there some reason? Like, is there going to be some interesting thing where they, maybe during the summer solstice event or whatever, they're going to, but it would be for such a short time, would it be worth it? But maybe they're going to, like, revamp the raids where it's worth going in it, and they're like, everyone get your armor, there's good reasons to do it, or I don't know. It's like, is there, what's the reason for, maybe the reason's just they worked on those assets and they still want people to show them off for a bit. Who knows?
I mean, that, and isn't the raids basically the best place to get higher stat rolls right now?
Yes, that is true. I forgot about that.
So maybe, I guess the, you know.
That's probably the better reason, yeah. So people can get the high stat rolls.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of is people putting in the time to grind out high stat rolls. And it's like, you know, basically throwing people a bone for that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, nonetheless, people have been going a little more into the old raids again because they know they're going away. We ran a Leviathan, I think it was last night. Yeah, with Poop Shizzle, he was a previous guest on the podcast, and a few other people that hadn't run. Nolzy finally was able to get his first Leviathan clear. So shout out.
Nice.
There. Mm-hmm. Yep, we did the underbelly and everything. So hadn't done that for a while, getting all the keys and everything.
The full experience with that.
Full experience, yes. Good times. We just need to get those spire clears going sometime soon if we care.
It's going well, I at least need one.
I would like one.
Yeah, right. I have one, but I don't even feel like I have one because I kind of got carried through this group, so I want to get a legit one where I actually know what's going on. Well, that's the weapons. We have other topics we can talk about, or we can save it towards next week. There's always more to talk about. So, you doing okay, Sin? You tapping out?
Magical.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying not to die in Crucible.
Yeah.
The usual.
All right. Well, let's talk about it real quick because we have a guest next week, so then we don't have to bring it up with him. But skill-based matchmaking, you know, Bungie announced that is gone everywhere now on Quick Play. It's not an Iron Banner either. It's only, where was the places they said it was? It was only, was it the comp or whatever?
Yeah, comp and solo comp are skill-based, and then trials is still card-based, but otherwise it's all connection-based matchmaking now.
Yeah, but wasn't comp even like a different version of skill-based anyways, I thought? It was more like a glory, which was like a little bit different than just KD skill-based.
Somewhat, but then again, what the changes that they made for glory does kind of go off your performance, aka KD. So,
Okay, so thoughts. What do you think, Des?
I despise it.
You despise it? Tell us why.
I despise these changes. I don't know. I've had a history of being a proponent for this, and I will continue to be the bad guy in the conversation because I'm all for skill-based matchmaking. Because it is a way, it is an implementation that allows a person like myself to always get better. Like, yes, it's true that the higher skill you get, yes, your matches are going to get like sweatier and sweatier. But for people that actually strive to get better, every game you play, it is ideal.
Yeah, it's such an interesting topic. Yeah, go ahead. No, tell us more.
I was saying, even with these changes, my first Crucible match that I loaded in, because, I mean, I'm slightly above average, like, in my Crucible play. So I get, like, about 20 kills a match. And that's me doing good with, like, a 1.4 efficiency or something like that, usually. First game after they got rid of skill-based, and I had 34 kills with a 3.4 efficiency. And that's kind of like one reason why I'm against connection-based, because that match, even though I was playing the same, I felt better, but nothing changed other than the way I was, other than the skill level of my opponents I was playing.
Now, did you play enough to see if it averaged out and you got the other side, or do you feel like...
Oh, yes, I've gotten plenty of the other side. I've gotten absolutely stomped by people that were predicting my every move and knowing where I was going and made me look like an absolute chump. And I felt awful for it. But again, I mean, I don't think, like I said, for me, I'm probably going to end up chilling out in the comp playlists, because this, having had skill-based in D2 for so long and seeing myself progress, this is sending me like all kinds of confusing and wrong signals, and yeah, sure. I can't enjoy it anymore.
Well, first of all, Des, you're not the bad guy. we all love you.
I'm not skilled according to Twitter, because I've read so many Twitter arguments about skill-based. It's like, if you like skill-based, you're a bad player.
See, that's weird, because on Twitter, and now this was 6 months ago, 3 to 6 months ago, but most of the people I was following were more for skill-based matchmaking. So I guess it's just all who you follow, I guess. I don't know.
Of course, but then again, I also tend to, when I see argument chains like that, I will delve into the comments and like throw myself into the wild. But yeah, it's...
Well, I don't have as much of a dog in the fight, because I don't generally enjoy any type of PvP as much as any other thing in the game, but I understand both sides of the argument a little bit more now, and I'll tell you, Des, I've been historically more on the skill-based matchmaking side, and the point you bring up is one that I forgot, that people have different incentive reasons to get better, and I think that can guide people that like skill-based versus just anything goes, right? I mean, there's people that go into Crucible that they're always like, their attitude is always like super try hard, even if they're not trying to do that with a sweat team or something, you know. Then there's other people that go in like me, they're like, I don't want to be in here at all. I'm just doing it for bounties or whatever. But if I win, that's a slight plus and I'll try somewhat, but you know what I mean? I know I'm pretty passive with it.
Oh no, I mean, that's how it used to be like in D1, because that's one reason I do strive is in D1, I was like a 0.6 average.
Mm-hmm.
And that is no joke. I was doing good to get 0.8 KDs in matches. Like, that was me doing good at the start of D1. But here I am now sitting on like a positive true KD and like all these instincts and things I'm actually like doing properly and more often and without even thinking at times. So, yeah. To see that smash now.
Yeah, I think it depends on what motivates you more to do better and to win. Now, first of all, not a lot motivates me in Crucible to do way better, but but I think historically having close matches did motivate me more, right? I'm like, well, I know it's close, so I'm going to put in the little bit amount of effort to actually win. Now, for other people, having these wild variations motivates them more, I think. Like, they're getting pub stomped one game. They're like, I need to learn from this. I need to do better so this doesn't happen again. And then they'll go into the next match where they're doing really good, and it's like a breather for them. They're not even trying to necessarily pub stomp the team, although they kind of indirectly will, maybe because of just being better. So I think a lot does come down to motivation and what motivates you to do better.
Like, it's just, there's nuances. Because like I said, when you're going to, you can learn so many bad habits in connection, like play with that. I mean, if you're not, first of all, if you're not serious about Crucible, like whatsoever, like that's why I actually liked kind of how they had it set up to where, yeah, you had a bunch of skill-based playlists, but those that wanted connection-based still had a playlist. So, I mean, those that just wanted to screw around, you have a playlist. Legitimately, my biggest issue when it comes to the whole argument are these so-called top 1%ers that are probably closer to the top 5%, but, you know, ego. A lot of them, quote-unquote, don't want their sweaty matches. They just want to screw around with friends, so they want connection-based.
Yeah, exactly.
And you check the loadouts of these people that supposedly just want to chill, and they're still not taking off their sweaty loadouts and just pub stomping everyone. I just don't like the dishonesty of it all.
That does happen a lot. Now, I do think that doesn't always happen, and I will just put out there, and this was from a while ago, but episode 127 of the Massive Breakdown podcast, of course, we all know them, gave, in that episode, they gave really good reasonings to consider not doing skill-based matchmaking. Now, it's not quite what you would expect. They say there's caveats to the discussion, and you should never have the lowest 1% of players match up with the highest 1% of players, even if you're doing connection-based matchmaking. There's got to be some protections in play. But traditionally, they gave reasons why they don't like skill-based matchmaking. And I have to say, after listening to that episode, I saw their point more. So if anyone wants to listen to that episode, give it a whirl. Again, 127.
Historically, I've usually been in agreement with a lot of Merck's opinions. So,
And he's cooler about it. He even says he doesn't try to. He feels bad when he pub stomps. You know, he's not, but he's still, you know, because of what he is and his experience with Crucible, he obviously is more on the side for connection based.
And he's still doing it, but you know.
I know. I think it's a little bit the attitude, but, and that's why too, I feel like when I'm in Crucible, people never affect me. Like, even if someone's teabagging, like, I'm like, whatever. It's like, I mean, I don't know what these people's attitudes are. And even if they are being complete jerks on their side, I'm just not going to let it affect me.
Legitimately, I think teabagging nowadays is just more of a mentality thing.
Yeah.
Because there are so many more people nowadays more vocal against teabagging. I think people do it to tilt people.
Yeah, right.
More so than to actually teabag.
But how do you know you're even tilting them? Because unless you're like, yes, they're going after me now, I guess that'd be one way you would know. But exactly. Like for someone like me, they do that and then like they don't know I'm just super chill on the other side. I'm like, oh, the poor little guy thinks he's being so cool teabagging me, you know?
I mean, yeah, so. Exactly. It just comes to the fact of if you get them to irrationally chase you, which
yeah,
probably 80% of people that are vocal about don't teabag me or, you know, teabaggers suck. You teabag them and they become like a bull in a china shop just trying to get to this one person, ignoring everyone else, trying to go through like, you know, five people to get to one. And then guess what? It's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, Sin, I have to get at least one sentence out of you. What would you prefer with Crucible? Skill-based, connection-based, don't care? Do you like to teabag? All of the above.
I think a nice hybrid of the two would be good. I think connection's good because it helps with the overall, you know, quickness of making the matches. Because I don't like sitting in orbit matchmaking, honestly. If you're sitting there trying to queue in for skill-based, it might take you a little while. But I also agree with, like you said, Kingsley, Merc's philosophy of the bottom one should not go in with the top one. So I think having that where you don't have
you got to clip that, Sin. Anyway, Sin, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it, though.
Yeah, no.
Because I don't want to go have to sweat my ass off in quick play. And I also don't want it to be super easy. But when I play on PC and it's a sweat fest all the time, one, because it's mouse and keyboard and I'm on controller. Yeah, I think there needs to be a good balance between the two.
Well, I'll tell you my experience on PC. And again, Rumble's different. I think I hopped in a couple control matches too, but my experience so far is I have run into less sweaty matches and even more matches where I've won in general, I feel like. And that's just a small sample size. Also, it'll be interesting to see when Iron Banner comes around, because people were already pretty salty with Iron Banner and already saying like more than 50% of the matches were pub stomping one direction or the other. So even though it had skill-based matchmaking, it didn't seem to be doing the job. And maybe it was just population size wasn't great.
Actually, I think that might have actually also been weighted more towards power level.
Oh, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see this time in Iron Banner. I will actually hop in and see what the games are like. And it's funny, people always like to complain about Iron Banner, I feel like, more than any other mode.
I don't predict any, at least as far as opinions go, I don't predict any change for Iron Banner.
People will still be salty.
Exactly. It's like people were salty before. People are just going to still be salty. The conversation, like keywords, might change slightly, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. Yeah. So, well, we better start wrapping it up for tonight. We had a great conversation, and we can continue this on more in future weeks. Please write in our Discord if you have any comments on what you prefer, skill-based, connection-based, and any of the weapons you've gotten that you've enjoyed, or any other question or topic you have for us. Even ones that'll make Sin blush.
Mm.
Especially those.
Well, okay. Our podcast is more PG rated, but our Discord, not as much. So you can still ask it there.
We get PG-13 on the Discord.
Yeah. All right. Well, we don't have any other housekeeping, I think, of this week. No new reviews. But I will say this week, please leave us a review if you want. We would very much appreciate it because we can read it on the air. I'll maybe even make Sin read it. I will send it to him ahead of time. And he can read it in a funny voice. Wasn't there another podcast that did that once? I feel like there was, and they would read it in a funny voice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was FUD.
Well, there we go.
FUD McMuffin.
Didn't mean to steal the idea off of you, FUD, but that idea came to me in my mind, and then the idea came that, I've heard that somewhere else before.
Yeah, it gave rise to one of the best Joker impersonations I've ever heard, too. Oh, my God. But anyway, sorry.
Leave us a review or don't leave us a review. We don't care. But feel free and join our Discord. We have an awesome, awesome Discord. And we still have spots in the clan. And we'll make room even if it gets full. We'll see if we need to cycle out to any people that haven't been on for 6 months or longer or a year. Or even if we have to make a second clan. But yeah, if you really want in, we will find a way. I think we still have at least 10 open right now anyway. So no worries on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And other than that, have fun in the game. Let us know what you're doing. And hopefully some cool, exciting new things will be coming out. And we'll get everyone get in that dungeon. It's a cool experience. And it's actually faster than Pit once you get used to it. It's a pretty quick dungeon.
Do the things. Shoot the things. Do the things.
We will get everyone there. Wilson. And
Kingsley, tell the lovely listeners where they can find you.
Okay, I'll start. You can find me on Twitter as MC Kingsley. You can find me on Twitch as Kingsley Mac and everywhere else in game on PlayStation and on PS4. And we do have to mention, just because this is breaking news as of today, bye-bye, Mixer. I guess there'll be more people on Twitch now.
I know, right? What the crap?
That came out of nowhere.
I know, seriously. So we'll be seeing more people on Twitch, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Right? I've seen the mass exodus already start.
Not that we had a lot of people on Mixer, but I was down. It was a pretty cool system, and we were adding that. But yeah, now Twitch is, which is good and bad. You know, we need competition, but hopefully Twitch will stay a cool place.
They will.
I mean, that, and apparently, like, the people that were assigned to Mixers, you know, to get it started, haven't actually now been alleviated of their contracts, so they can go right back to Twitch.
Yeah, I heard through, I reposted this on Twitter, but supposedly Ninja got $30 million out of his buyout because of this.
Wow. He is set for life.
Yeah, if he wasn't even already, now he has another
thing. I know, right? Like, he wasn't before.
And he can go to Twitch now, and even if they only offer him like $500,000 or $1 million a year, who cares, right?
I mean, good God, at that point in time, just not even getting a partnership deal, just work your way back to like affiliated, and you still could. Holy crap.
You can create your own streaming platform.
I know, right?
Jeez. He can hire his own workforce and create a new streaming platform.
Jesus.
All right, Dez, where can people find you?
You can find me in places and things at Twitter, @DS_Raven. And definitely type the words, do the things, let's have a conversation in Discord, because, again, I like to talk, and if starting a conversation about matchmaking, just know, I'm not that mad about it. I might type fervently, but I'm not mad. I promise. I love you.
So you're saying your Discord bite is stronger than your podcasting smoothness?
You heard it here first.
I'm just saying that typed words can be construed a specific way.
Oh, I know. And I agree. No one should take
it. It's not that way. I enjoy conversation. Like, even if I do get slightly heated about it, I'm not mad. I like conversation.
I like words.
Yep.
I do like words. I like seeing what people think about things, even though I like conversation, but at the same time, I'm an introvert. So Discord is perfect for me.
Yeah. That's for sure. Well, where can people find Mr. CYN?
You can find me, not changing my voice, on twitch.tv/SynMedia. Sin with CYN, and over on Twitter @Sin_Media. Thank you for listening, and have a good night.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Later, man.